Yes. So was everybody online last Sunday? Everybody see last Sunday, pretty much? All right, so we're going to pick right up off last Sunday. A little bit of review, but keep moving. And I hope you guys catch what the Lord is showing me here. Because I know the Lord is very clear to me as he's been grinding on this on me for a couple months now. We're gonna take some stuff down in Jesus' name. Amen. So 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. We're gonna just read a few verses from last week and then move down further in the same chapter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us. Everybody say in all our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation, or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. And our hope for you, Paul's talking to the church here, right? Our hope for you, Corinthian church, is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of our sufferings, so also you are sharers of our comfort. So notice how, again, just super quick review here. Paul, verse 3, Paul describes God here as the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. Right? This is how Paul describes God here, right? And listen to last Sunday if you did not get that, because I really took almost the whole sermon and talked about that. But then he goes on to verse 4, who comforts us, right? The Greek word here, church, is a verb. Still reviewing, but this is so important. The Greek word here is a verb. It's a verb. Similar to, some of us have been around church for a while, we all hear about agape, right? Agape, agape, agape. In the Greek language, agapeo is actually the root word, which is a verb. Agape is built off of the verb, which is agapeo. God so loved the world, agapeoed the world, right? Brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. Agapeo, got to do something, right? How many folks have had somebody tell you, oh, brother, I love you so much, and then when you need something, they're nowhere to be found, right? That's not love. Now, that doesn't mean sometimes we just really can't be there. Can I get amen, right? But as Christians, if we're to love as God loves the world, we need to try to slot some time in and some flexibility into our lives where we can be available for people when they need help, right? Same thing here from Paul. To comfort somebody requires some action on our part. There's some new ministry friends. See what the Lord does with this relationship. We, Missy and I, just fell in love with these folks. Like, we went to their house for dinner a month ago. Folks, I know, I can't talk right. You ever meet those people where you just meet them the first time and you're like, wow, I've like known you forever, right? Remember the first time you came, bro? Remember Leon? First time Leon came, Wandy, we're standing in the back of the church and Wandy and Missy are like, you know? It was like we'd known each other for 20 years, you know? So this other couple, they live right up the street from here. A great couple. So anyway, they were supposed to have a party at their house on Friday. They canceled it. And I said, is everything all right? And they have some friends out in Indiana who suffered a horrific family tragedy. Absolutely horrific. The stuff nightmares are made out of. Christian family. Right, just absolutely devastating, horrific thing happened, and we're just new friends. But I said, man, do you need anything? You tell me what you need, and I'll be there. Right, that's what Paul's talking about here, church. Can I get amen? Right. So what he says here is God, the Father of mercy, is the God of all comfort, who comforts us. Again, a verb, right? Similarly to where Peter tells us to cast all of our anxieties on the Lord because the Lord cares for us. That's another verb, right? It's not care like a concept. Like God's like, oh, that's too bad. I'm sorry you're going through that. It says as we give our anxieties to God, as we cast our cares on the Lord, it says that God is actively engaging whatever it is we're giving to him. Amen. Right? See, if God is just like up there going like, wow, that's too bad. I feel badly for you. What good is that? Right? But if I know that God, the God of the universe, is going to step off of his throne and actively engage whatever I give to him, man, that gives me a lot more confidence to do that. Can I get amen? Right? See, what Paul is saying here, church, is that God comforted him. I hope you see this. It's so powerful. I've read this so many times, and it was just like, pow, jumped off the page of me a couple months ago. I was like, oh my gosh, Paul is arguably, I'm already ahead of myself in my notes, but arguably one of the greatest men to ever walk the earth. Can I get an amen? I mean, we talk about modern-day evangelists like Billy Graham and, you know, Reinhard Bonnke and these guys, but I'm like, Paul is like the original OG, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is the dude that launched all of these other guys that we talk about nowadays, right? Paul is this guy that God sends him out of Jerusalem all over the Mediterranean, right? All over that whole area of Greece and Rome and all this stuff. Paul's out there in heathen cultures risking his life every single day for the gospel. But Paul is writing to this church and saying that God comforted us. The Lord, the Almighty, the All-Powerful, the All-Seeing, the All-Knowing, the Unmatched King of heaven and earth did not end their affliction. Church, see this. He did not end their affliction, but rather he climbed into it with them and said, I've got you. You're going to be all right. You're going to make it. See, here's how we can... Sometimes we can resist the Lord's comfort. And here's what I mean by this. Our typical idea of comfort, I said this last Sunday, but it's so important. Our idea of comfort is to be comfortable. Come on, church. How many of y'all going to watch a football game later today, right? Get in your man cave and kick back. Oh, that's comfy. Yeah, baby. Right? We just got a new couch in our den, and we're sitting on all these couches at the furniture store, and it's like, sit down. I'm like, this one's terrible. It's sitting on a board. Why do they make couches that you can't lean your head back on and fall asleep? Why are they short on the back? Who makes a couch like that? Dude, Missy hates our couch. I'm 3 minutes on that thing. Right? But you know what I'm saying, right? We want to be comfortable as Americans. There's a massive difference, my beloved, between being comfortable and being comforted by God. See, we cannot, as I said last Sunday, we cannot experience the comfort, the supernatural comfort of God, unless we're willing to walk the supernatural road of affliction that he has for us. I was with a young man yesterday, here in our church. And I said to him, none of y'all did this to me, all right? I'm just saying. I'll look over here, all right? I said, bro, I've never been hurt so bad as my church folks. Can I get an amen from anybody who's ever been hurt by church folks? In learning, part of the reason was because we put this expectation on church folks. We forget that church folks are still people and they got issues. Can I get an amen, right? Anybody not a people in here? No. We got issues, right? So what I've learned is that I got to understand that we're all grinding it out. Yeah, one guy's like, I'm not a people. We're all grinding it out, right, church? And this is why Paul tells, he says, make room for each other's faults. Understand that we're going to make mistakes. We're going to say stuff and we're going to, so how many of you ever said something to somebody and as soon as it comes out, you're like, uh-oh. One guy right in front, he's like, yep. Right? And you can't take it back. You can't change it. You said it. It's out there. Right? But what I want to show you this morning, and this is kind of one of the main points of this sermon, part of that journey, my beloved, some of that affliction that comes is coming so that we can understand that God still works in the midst of pain. See, we want God to deliver us from pain, and then we're like, okay, that's comfortable. He says, no. I want you to be comfortable in an environment that you should not be comfortable in. Yeah? Now, if we look at that back at verse, Alex, can you get me verse 4? Nope. Hang on, where are we at here? And let's read it again. It is verse 4. Who comforts us in all our affliction. Right, everybody say, so that. So, oh, if you're new with us, so that's are my favorite phrase in the whole Bible. So that, right? There are so many so that's or therefores in the Bible, which tells us whatever happened before so that happened so that what's after the so that can be made possible. Can I get amen? So if you're reading your Bible, you see a therefore, back up. You see a so that, whatever's coming next, what came before that happened so that what's happening, what's coming can take place. Does that make sense? Right? Why? The God of all comforts who comforts us so that in all our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction. There's another scripture from Paul that talks a very similar way. Galatians chapter 6, not in my notes, don't worry about it, Alex. But it talks about if any of you find any, bless you, if any of you find any brother who has fallen into any trespass, you should kick him out of the church because it might get on somebody. There's churches that teach that stuff, you know that? Oh, watch out, that person got a spirit on them. Yeah, maybe God sent this person with a spirit to your church to deal with it. They're going to get on me. Can I get amen? Right? Church, we got to understand, folks, you know where broken folks should be? Right here. You know where addicts should be? Right here. You know where prostitutes should be? Right here. Can I get an amen? They should be right here in the church, right? Getting loved on by the Lord and the body of Christ and set free. Yeah? We've got to be able to get over our insecurities and all this stuff we get bugged out about. Paul says in that Galatians 6, if you find anyone who's fallen in any trespass, seems pretty inclusive to me, right? You who are spiritual, restore that one. Now, obviously, there needs to be repentance and all that stuff. We understand that. Can I get amen? But if someone's come back and said, man, I really blew it. Bro, I made a mess, man. Help me. Our job as Christians is to help them. That's it. Paul says, you want to be spiritual? There's your test. Not leading worship, not preaching, not prophesying, not laying hands on sick people. All cool, right? The test of your character of Christ, because that's who Christ came to save. We were all in the gutter. We were all broken. We were all addicts. We were all prostitutes. We were all adulterers. We were all sinners, church. Can I get amen? He didn't come and find like, wow, you're pretty darn good. Get on up here. He's like, you're a mess. You're a mess. You're a mess. You're a mess. You're all a mess. Come on up here anyway. It's all right. Is that all right, church? Let's drive this home with one more verse here. Look at what he says here. I've always had this mindset. This is me. Maybe none of you, but this mindset. Like, I've always thought that I would kind of arrive at some point. Now, let me explain this, because I just said a few weeks ago that we're never going to, like, arrive, right? We arrive when we're dead. That's when we arrive, right? When we stop, when your earth suit gives up, you've arrived. You've crossed the finish line, hopefully, by God's grace, right? But like I had this mindset for a while because I think this is like there's church like subtly teaches this thing. I remember being a young believer in the church I was in at the time, and like the ministry, right? The ministry was always like these people up on the stage and they always were snappy dressers and they talked a certain kind of way and they, you know, and there's like security teams that escorted them in and out of the, you know, and you're like, oh man, who's this guy? The president? I don't know. Right? You know what I mean? And like, and then you see some people that, you know, the preacher gets going and this kid, like a ball boy, runs off from the corner and pats his forehead and, you know, like, what's it? Who is this guy? You know what I mean? And it's like this weird like thing happened where you're like, whoa, it's the preacher. And I remember thinking there was like this atmosphere, maybe it was just my own insecurities, but there was this atmosphere in my mind, in my heart, where it's like, wow, I could never be like that. I'm never going to be good enough to, you know. It's like when you see like, we were at Bertucci's one time, and we're sitting there waiting for dinner, and there's a guy sitting there, and I'm looking at this guy, and I'm like, man, I know this guy from somewhere. And then I realized he's an anchor on ESPN. And I was going to be like, what's up, bro? And then I'm like, I don't know this guy, though. It's like, he doesn't know me. I just see him on TV. You know what I'm saying? It was that kind of thing. That's how I felt about, like, the ministry, right? Like, whoa, they're on this whole other tier. You know what I figured out? That is not true. The best compliment I've ever received as a pastor, I've received it many, many times, is like, you're just real. Yes, I am. False and all. My wife's like, amen. She's chewing her fingernails, or she would have amen that one. So I had this mindset, church, where I felt like I was going to like arrive, you know, and I was going to like, you like, it was, and then, right, all my afflictions would be over, right? I'm going to come through all these problems and there's going to be no more problems. And then I'd walk in this comfort of God. Like, I can't be in problems and in God's comfort at the same time. Like, those two things can't coexist in the same place. But that's not what Paul says here. Paul's like, we will comfort other people with the same comfort with which we are comforted by God. Not with which I was comforted and now I don't need his comfort anymore. I still need it right now, just as much as I needed it last week and last month and 10 years ago and 20 years ago. I need God's comfort now. You know what's crazy? The Greek word for comfort and the Greek word for encourage are about 6 words apart in the Greek language. Same root. So to biblically comfort somebody, if I was going to biblically comfort this brother, he doesn't need it because his life is amazing. You're not supposed to laugh that hard, man. All right, let's pray for him. All right, everybody, come on. Church is over. But I can't just be like, oh, it's okay, buddy. You'll be okay. Yeah. My comforting him is being, look, man, I know it's hard. But I've been through what you've been, I've been through it, and you're going to need to keep moving, bro. Here's the step you can make. Here's the next step you got to do, man. I've walked this path already. I've been through this fire. Here's the next step. You can make it here. You can make it here. You're going to make it. Can I get amen, church? Do you understand? It's not like, just suck it up. That's not comforting. It's coming alongside and saying, man, I've been here. You're all right. How many people ever felt like a failure in their walk with the Lord? Right here, man. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I felt like a failure multiple times since I've been the pastor of this church. Multiple times. And you know what? I've got some friends that I call, and they say, man, get back in there. You're all right. I was done leading worship 5 years ago. Done. Done. Called a good friend of mine. He said, well, bro, did the Lord give you another worship leader? And I was like, no. He says, then get your heart right and get back in there. You know what I wanted? It's okay. I know. It's so hard. The people are so mean. And they pick their nose and they fall asleep during worship. It's so hard. I know. You deserve a sabbatical. That's what I wanted. You know what I needed? A kick in the pants and a hug. Can I get an amen, church? Just making sense? See, Paul doesn't suggest here in this passage at all for a second that his afflictions are over. What Paul is saying is that he has grown as a Christ follower. As he has grown, he has come to rely more and more upon the grace of the Lord to bring him comfort and strength along, everybody say along his journey. See, we've got to like break this mindset. I just literally saw this as I was speaking in my mind of like, we've got this mindset in the church today. We're like trudging through the desert and we're like, where's the oasis? Like, ah! You know, like we come to church because we're like, oh, I need to get refreshed. And yes, should we be refreshed at church on Sunday? Yes. Oh my gosh, yes. But my goodness gracious, if we're waiting to be refreshed to hear our favorite song during worship on Sunday, you are going to struggle. Should we gather and worship? Absolutely, men. Should we gather and encourage and bless other people? Sure. Absolutely. Praise God. Hopefully more than on Sundays. Right? But my beloved, my point is this, that God is trying to put the comfort inside of us by the Holy Spirit. He says, I'm calling the Holy Spirit as what? The comforter. The comforter. Where's he? He's in here. Right? The helper. He's in here. Can I get amen? The truth about this, I hope you catch, this is the most important part of this, today's sermon, right here. The second most important part. Top three, no problem. What each, all of you, put your hand on your chest and say, this is me, right? Just because you're going through a storm does not disqualify you from comforting other people. You know what the church has done? Oh, brother, you're just sitting in the front row, bro. That's what happens, man. All right? Lewis is visiting. I can't pick on him. All right? But you know what we say, man? Oh, my gosh, you're struggling in your faith. You better pray, man. Well, you know what? I'd venture that every single person in this room and maybe some folks online has struggled with their faith in the last couple of months. Come on, church. And what we've built is this subtle, doesn't come right over the pulpit, right? But it's this subculture of like, if I'm not up on the mountain praising Jesus with my hands up and doing jumping jacks for him, that I am not qualified for ministry. Garbage. I love Romans 7, man, when Paul talks about sin, right? Paul's like, look, I found this truth to be true, right? He says, look, the things that I want to do, I don't do. The things that I don't want to do, I do. He says, you know, oh, wretched man that I am. I hear some churches, they get so uncomfortable with that. They're like, Paul was talking about his past life. I'm like, no, he was not. He's like, I found this truth. He says, it's no longer I who sin, but sin that lives in my members, right? So he's like, there's this battle going on, right? He says, I'm holy here because I got the Holy Ghost, right? The God of creation is living inside me. So I am holy. I am saved. I am right with God. But I've got this journey now. I'm grinding out, right? Working out my salvation with fear and trembling, right? I'm grinding out this sin because I still got this earth suit that likes stuff that God doesn't like. Right? And what we talk about church, oh my gosh, you did what? Dude. We're so afraid of admitting our weakness that we show up to church and we fake it and we smile and we raise our hands and, and then we go home and we're hiding in our basements and wherever we're doing it, or we're just broken and lost, hoping someday something's going to change. Can I get amen? You know what Paul says? I will therefore boast about my weaknesses. That always was a strange scripture to me, but I'm starting to understand it a little bit more. You know why Paul boasts about his weaknesses in all these churches? Because he's saying, look, I'm giving you permission to admit your weakness. Like, Paul's like, I planted this church. This church is here because of me, and I'm telling you that I'm weak. So if I planted this church and I'm telling you that it's okay to admit your weaknesses because God's power is perfected in our weakness, then he says, it's okay for you to admit your weakness because then God's power can be perfected in your weakness. But we've built this culture. I don't know if it's like because we're so corporate and CEO-minded in the church in America today. God is breaking that down, by the way. He is taking CEO pastors out of the pulpits left and right. Can I get amen, right? We're a pastor. The word is shepherd in the Bible. Same word in the Greek, right? Pastors are supposed to love people, not build corporations. Now, we need some folks to help us build the corporation. Praise the Lord. Can I get amen? We've got some folks in our church that are real good at that. Praise God, because I don't like doing that. I love people, right? Do you understand what I'm saying? Just because you're in a storm doesn't mean you're disqualified to comfort other people. Maybe, is it possible, my beloved, that you're in the storm that you're in to see God comfort you so that you can comfort others? Pretty sure we just read this. With this same comfort that you yourself are comforted currently by God. Seems to me like God is not freaking out if we're having a bad week. I'm going to prove you something in a moment that you're going to like it, you're not going to like it. Verse 5. Look what he says. Another interesting little phrase in here. Just the sufferings of ours, the sufferings are ours. Look at this church. Everybody say it with me. In abundance. In abundance. Greek word is to be over and above. So also. Everybody say so also. So also our comfort is abundant. The same Greek word, to be over and above through Christ. So let's think about what Paul's saying here. A couple things. First, troubles are part of the package, right? I think we've established that perfectly, right? If you're walking with Jesus, you're going to suffer. You're going to have afflictions. You're going to go through difficult times, right? That's going to happen. America, we've been pretty sheltered, but we better buckle up because it's not looking too good. Culturally, can I get amen, right? We will go through hard times, right? Number two, he will comfort us with comfort that is stronger than the suffering. Second Kings 6, just want to point out a mindset here. We'll recognize this story, just hit it quickly here. So this is Elisha he's going through this season where he is hearing the king of Aram is setting traps for Israel. And Elisha, the Lord is showing Elisha what this king is doing. And so he keeps telling Elisha, go tell the king of Israel there's a trap here, don't go there. And then tell the king of Israel there's a trap over here, don't go there. And the king would send scouts, and oh yeah, there really is a trap there, and all these things. So this happens multiple times. In verse 13, 2 Kings 6, he said, go and see where he is. This is the king of Aram. He's getting angry now. He's like, why? Who is? He thinks one of his own guys is a traitor, right? But he says, go and see where Elisha is that I may send and take him. And it was told the king, saying, behold, he's in Dothan. This is a messed up story to me because I'm like, so God is going to warn Elisha. It's messed up until I figured this part out. But God is going to tell Elisha that the enemy is setting traps for somebody else. But then when the enemy comes for Elisha, the Lord doesn't tell him anything. I'm like, wow, that's kind of jacked up, ain't it? But look what happens. If you don't know the story, it's such a good one. The king sent horses and chariots and a great army there. And they came by night and surrounded the city. Now when the attendant of the man of God had risen early and gone out, behold, an army with horses and chariots were circling the city, and his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" You know what's going on? This servant is Gehazi, by the way. What's going on right here? You know what's going on? He's being overwhelmed with afflictions. He's got an abundance of afflictions going on. Gehazi's like, "We're dead. What shall we do?" So Elisha answers him, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Oh Lord, I pray," and I want to pray this over you right now. Church, just take a moment here. Just close your eyes right now. Because I'm telling you, the Lord is working something right here for every one of us, right? We are all going to face stuff where we're going to feel like Gehazi, right? Lord, I just pray this over us right now, myself included. Open our eyes that we may see. And the Lord opened his eyes, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Lord God, I pray that you'd help us to see that you still have chariots and horses of fire reserved for us. In Jesus' name. Church, you got to see, here's the point of this little rabbit trail here. We can be Gehazi or we can be Elisha. Right? Gehazi is Chicken Little. The world's falling. Well, you know what? Maybe the world is falling. But Elisha says, "Yeah, but God is still on my side." Can I get amen? Let's move down. Verse 8. Let me hit one more verse here before we get to verse 8. Verse 6, really quickly here, almost done. Paul says in verse 6, "If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation." Isn't that a funny word right there? Salvation, right? Here's what's funny as I was studying that. Salvation can also mean deliverance. It's exactly the same Greek word, right? So Paul, right here, is not talking about these people getting saved. When he's talking about salvation, he's talking about them being delivered out of this particular storm of affliction, right? Paul's going like just like in my example here a moment ago, right? Like Paul's going like, "Look, I'm a little ahead of you on this journey, right? So I'm going to reach back and go, man, I can comfort you for your comfort, right? Your encouragement and your salvation. Like this storm will end. You will come through it." Right? So many times, my beloved, we get in a storm and all we see is like, "Oh, you know, we don't know which way's up." Right? We need other brothers and sisters to come around us and be like, "Man, you're all right. Come on, man. Keep moving. Like, whoa, get back over here. This is the way. Come on, head this direction," right? Jesus' name. Everybody good with that? Verse 8. Verse 8. "For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren." Paul is talking to who right here, church? Talking to the church, right? He's talking to this Corinthian church. So he's saying to the church, "We do not want you to be unaware of our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death and will deliver us. He on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us. You also, joining and helping us through your prayers, so that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed on us through the prayers of many." Lots of stuff here, but let's just move through it for the next few moments. First off, verse 8 and into verse 9 completely annihilates the catchy little church phrase of "God is never going to give you more than you can handle." That is just the dumbest thing we've come up with in the church in America. Can I get amen from somebody? Dude, That's straight from the devil, man. All right. Because you know what that means? You know, because because Americans like being comfortable, right? So the second the Lord allows something in our lives that doesn't make us comfortable, we go, oh, God, you're never going to give me anything I can't handle. And so God's looking at us. We've been going to church for 69 years, and he's like, yeah, that's why you're like 6 weeks old. You've been 69 years in the church, and you're only 6 weeks old in the Lord. Because every time I'm bringing something your direction that's supposed to make you stronger, you're like, I can't handle a 25-pound weight on the barbell. Put those 10-pounders back on there. Dude. He's saying, you want to get stronger, you got to throw some more weight on the rack. Anybody want to get stronger? I do, for sure. For sure. I want to get stronger, man. Right? Look at how Paul describes what he is going through. When Paul wrote this letter, he's like, this is what's going on right now. Burdened excessively. Well, brother, the Lord's yoke is easy and his burden is light. Not according to Paul. I don't know. Y'all reading this the same way I'm reading it? I'm getting a kick out of this stuff, man. Right? When Jesus says that, he's talking about the yoke of salvation, right? He's saying, I'm taking this religious yoke off you because it's killing you. Right? You can't. He says, the yoke of the gospel is an easy one. But your mission for the gospel, that might get a little sticky. Yeah? Burdened excessively. Is this still up there? Beyond our strength. Pretty much think Paul's going, you know what? The only thing God's going to give you is more than you can handle. Here's what's crazy. The word strength right here is dunamis, Greek word dunamis, right? That's the word we get miracles and power from in the New Testament. Same Greek word. Beyond our strength, right? Look at the next phrase, church. We're taking it slow on purpose. So that all the guys on my mission team despaired even of life. So Paul's like, no, all of us, myself included, right? He says, we are going through an absolute just gates of hell have been loosed against us storm to the point where Paul's like, me despaired even of life. Wow. Indeed, verse 9, we had the sentence of death within ourselves. Oh, but look at that phrase. So that. Everybody say so that. So that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. The Lord's been stirring my heart for quite some time. I've had many, many, many confirmations over the last several months. But I was saying, son, it is time to get the ways of man out of the church. It is time to get the ways of man out of the church. If we're doing something, I don't care what it is, it does not line up with the Word of God, it needs to go. And man, that's going to hurt a little bit sometimes because we like stuff, don't we? We like things done a certain kind of way. We like things, you know, oh, that's how we always did it, Pastor. Okay, but it's wrong. It's wrong. So we can continue doing what's wrong and then getting angry at God because he doesn't show up. He's like, I didn't tell you to do that. As a matter of fact, I told you to do the opposite of that. Sometimes, can I get amen? Do you see this? I want to challenge you with something here. This is just what I see, all right? If you don't like this, then just pray about it, and the Lord will help you get on the right track. I'm just kidding. You know what I don't see in Paul's writings? A whole lot of talk about is the devil. Once in a while, Peter hits him. He prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour, but resist him firm in your faith. He's like, stop being scared of the devil. Can I get amen, right? You know what I see here? All this affliction that causes Paul and whoever's traveling with him to be burdened excessively beyond their strength, to despair even of life with a sentence of death within them, I think God's behind the whole thing. God says, I've got a plan. I'm going to push you, man. I'm going to send you into environments, into circumstances that are going to squeeze you and are going to grind on you and are going to be difficult and painful because I'm trying to get you to stop leaning on yourself. I'm just going to turn around back here. I'm trying to get you to stop leaning on your pastor. Trying to get you to stop leaning on your church. Trying to get you to stop leaning on Hillsong Worship. Oh, I just need a Hillsong Worship song right now. No, you don't. I like Hillsong, man. Can I get amen, right? I like me a good worship song. But God is saying, no, it is stop looking for oases, if that's the plural of oasis. I don't know how to pluralize that word. I'm not an English major. Stop looking for these oases. Oh, I'm in the desert, pastor. I'm not going to make it. I need a drink of water. He says, I put living water inside you. From your innermost beings will flow rivers of living water. I don't need to find a pond somewhere. I've got a river on the inside. Do you see what he's saying? God is talking to Paul, and Paul's having this revelation. He says, oh, my gosh, the ding, light bulb goes off. And Paul's like, I'm still Paul, the Apostle Paul. My goodness gracious, this guy that planted churches all over. You're all over this whole region. And it's the Mediterranean Sea over there, right? I didn't do well in geography. Pretty sure that's where the boot is for Italy, right? Over there, right? Mediterranean. Paul's all over this place, right? He's in Asia planting churches left and right. This guy is getting thousands and thousands of people are being saved through his ministry. This is the dude that's shipwrecked. He's bitten by a poisonous snake that jumps out of the fire, bites him. Everybody's like, how's he not dead? We've seen people get bit by that snake. You're a goner, bro. Paul just shakes off the snake in the fire. This is Paul, who is blinded by the power of God, has his sight miraculously restored by the grace of God, is sent out on this journey and then realizes, like, wow, this is hard. This is really hard. My beloved, I'm telling you, God is on a mission to get us to stop relying on ourselves. But at the same time, we're going to look at one next week. It's so fascinating to me. The Lord will use brothers and sisters to bring us comfort and encouragement. You're like, so Pastor, which one is it? Do I need somebody or I don't need nobody? Yes. As I said last Sunday, and I'll correct, Pastor Al never picked up the call phone for me, all right? He always picked up every single time. But I could tell there was times when he was like, I got no answers for you, bro. You need to grind it out, right? There will be times, my beloved, when there will be no one. It's you and the Lord. But there will be times, we're going to find some stuff next Sunday, man. You're going to like it so much. We're going to find some more stuff where Paul becomes very, very vulnerable and transparent about what he's going through. And we're going to see how the Lord gets him through it. It's all community and partnership and friendship. Just mind-blowing stuff. I've read it so many times and, like, just never clicked. Can I get amen? Verse 10, Paul delivers, God delivers Paul, excuse me. God delivered Paul in verse 10. And then Paul says, look what he says, God will do it again, and that God is the one in whom we'll set our hope. Right? So it's going to be important as we look at next Sunday. This is so important, right? But Paul doesn't say, I set my hope on you. He says, my hope is set on God. But what we're going to see next week is that sometimes God will send an answer through a brother or sister. Right? I remember almost in here, my dad, who passed a few years ago, got radically saved, but man, he fought the Lord so hard for 20 years, you know. He fought the Lord so hard. And I just gave up. I didn't give up, but I gave him to the Lord, right? I said, Lord, whatever you got to do, right? And I don't know, maybe 4 years before he passed, I remember one day he called me, and he's like, he's weeping on the phone. I said, Dad, what's going on? He says, I need you to explain something to me. So he's telling me this story where he lived. There was a business owner whose business was just on the rocks. You know, this gentleman was very, very unhealthy, physically unhealthy, and his marriage was a disaster. And this gentleman was soliciting prostitutes and all kind. I mean, just really, really, yeah, some pretty bad stuff. And somehow, like, this guy just clicked with my dad. And so my dad was a good businessman and various things. So my dad helped this guy get his business on track and helped this guy. The guy went and had surgery and lost a whole bunch of weight and cleaned his life up and started taking care of himself better. And my dad steered this guy out of prostitution and this guy's marriage got restored. So my dad's not a believer yet at this time, right? So he's telling me this story, and then he starts weeping again. He says, because this guy's wife invited him over for dinner one night. And he says, we had a great time. We had a nice dinner together and all these things, and we're leaving. And his wife gives me a hug. And I got one more story that's going to make me cry too. You guys got to hear this. I'm telling you, church, God is after something. This wife, the woman hugs my dad and whispers in his ear. She says, I thank God for you. And he steps back and he says, quietly, he says, what do you mean? And she says, I was praying that God would send an angel to deliver my family, and he sent you. And my dad is weeping. He says, I don't understand. And I said, what don't you understand? This is the God we serve. And man, he got radically saved right before he, and I thought the Lord, and I'm like, Lord's going to heal him now for sure. That was not God's plan. Next story, really quickly, and I'm done right here, church. Those of you that know Eric Escalent, my friend from Cape Cod, Emily Yenny, running Emily Yenny. We just had a board meeting last Tuesday. I'm on the board for that. And Daryl was on the call with us from South Africa, whose wife just passed away. And Daryl's doing well. All things considered, he's doing very well. But the whole board meeting was about where does Emily Yenny go now? Because Daryl is running Emily Yenny in South Africa. You know, and he's coming to the States and he's done, you know, and he's okay. You know, it really could tell he's not, but he's got four kids and he's got grandkids, and he says I'm done. I'm gonna take a season at least. So Emmy Yenny is in a real place of turmoil and not turmoil, that's the wrong word, but you know what I mean. Like, this is the guy, right? That's run it for all these years. And so Eric was just down there for 2 weeks with Daryl and everything, and he says, I'm just praying and asking the Lord, like, show me, what do we do? And so the whole discussion was, do we as a board, do we just shut down Emoyeni? You know, they own a farm, cash, no debt. They own a farm in South Africa. He says, do we sell the farm and just liquidate and bless some local ministries down there or whatever? And so he says, as we're on the farm, he said, I start meeting these people that are working on the farm. And he says, I meet this one man named Tulani. And one day the Tulani comes up to Eric and he says, Pastor, he says, you don't remember me, but 20 years ago when you came to this village, there was a woman here who took in 11 orphans off the street. And so Eric's vision for Emoyeni was to rescue troubled children. That's the vision for Emoyeni. So he says, there was 11 orphans, and this woman, widowed woman, took in 11 orphans off the street. And Emoyeni built her a house. And so Tulani looked at Eric, and he says, I was one of the orphans that you took in. And you changed my life. He says, we were trash. We were worthless. Nobody cared. And then you came from America and built us this home. And he says, here I am now, 33 years old, 34 years old, married with 4 children of his own. And everybody says, he says, this guy is an amazing father and an amazing husband. And it was all by, right? We see this as a miracle from God, delivered through the hands of men. Do you understand what I'm saying, church? Right? And so, yes, we need, God is our hope. This is what Paul's saying. God is our hope. But sometimes the hope from God is going to be delivered through the vessels of God. Amen? Let's stand up. I want to show you this last verse here, and I'm just gonna expound on it for just two minutes here, and we'll pray. Has this been a blessing to anybody? So again, Paul talking to the church here. He says that God has delivered us from so great a peril of death, and will deliver us, he on whom we've set our hope, and he will yet deliver us. Look at 3 times. But when he says he will yet deliver us, you know Paul's saying? I'm in something right now that he will yet deliver me from. Right? And then he says, you also joining in helping us through your prayers. And I'm going to be very transparent in just a moment, my beloved. So that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf. excuse me. For the favor bestowed on us through the prayers of many. Look at that last phrase. The favor bestowed on us through the prayers of many. And what struck me so much, this was Eric with his story of Tulani. He says, I started asking myself as I was standing on this farm in South Africa, have I really made a difference? 20 years I've been in this thing. We've poured hundreds of thousands of dollars into this community. And all kinds of things. Have I really accomplished anything? And then he met Tulani. So it wasn't all the big stuff. There's a great story I heard from T.D. Jakes. Everyone knows T.D. Jakes, right? Like him or you don't. T.D. Jakes was ready to quit 10 years ago. Walk away. Whether you like him or you don't, he's got one of the most powerful churches in America. Huge church, you know, and that's what you think. Man, look at this guy, so successful. And I saw this story, and he says, I was done, quit, walk away. And he goes, I was at a conference and I was going to go home from that conference and put in my resignation. I was so discouraged and so broken because of media and people saying things about my children and my family and just mean people. And so he says, I'm at this conference. I'm in the green room with all the other preachers and this, my phone rings and it was one of my leaders that was with me. He says, Pastor, there's a woman who wants to talk to you. She's waiting outside. So he goes, I go outside and I go around the corner, down the hall and I meet this woman and she says, it's this frail, small, frail little woman. And she says, Bishop, I got to tell you something. She goes, I just came out of the hospital from my last cancer treatment. My cancer is in remission. And she says, the doctors told me I was not going to survive. But I listened to your preaching. And your preaching is what kept me going. And T.D. Jakes, he says, I broke down weeping. And he says, that woman is what kept me going. Not the big church, not the fancy books and all this stuff. He says, years later, I was at a conference and I was signing a new book I'd written. And there's people lined up. And he says, this woman is in the line. She comes up to the table. She's healthy and strong. And she says, Bishop, I don't think you remember me. And he says, I jump out of my chair. He says, I remember you. I know exactly who you are. You came to that conference all those years ago and you were frail and sick. And he says, now you're healthy and strong. And she says, you saved me. And he says, I hugged her and I says, you saved me. What? Isn't that so powerful, church? Look what Paul's saying here. Paul's saying that to the church, your prayers for me, you praying for me, he says, I was in Asia, you're over here, you're praying for me, and your prayers are part of my deliverance, are part of my freedom, part of my salvation, right? So I just want you to close your eyes one more time, church. We're done right here. And man, this hit me because I struggle with this. I really do. Sometimes I sit down to pray and I think, gosh, is this going anywhere? Is anything happening? And there's times I'm praying and it's awesome and powerful, but there's times that I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. Can I get amen? But this is what Paul tells this church here. So I want to just close your eyes right now, church, just with me right now, in Jesus' name. And I want you to take this week and I want you to ask yourself, really, in your heart, examine your heart and say, man, do you struggle with any of these things? Am I really making a difference? Are my prayers really changing anything? Because these are all, it's all an attack from the enemy trying to discourage us. Look at how you're living your life. You think you're going to pray and something's going to happen? The gospel is bigger than that. If our prayers being answered were based on our righteousness, there's not a single prayer that would ever be answered. Ever. Our prayers are answered because God is good. He's a good Father. We're healed because God is good. We are delivered because God is good. We're provided for because God is good. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray, Lord, as we journey through these next several weeks, that our hearts come alive. Any of us, God, that have been have succumbed and been subject to some of this subtle teachings in the body of Christ to hide, to fake it till we make it, and all these kinds of things, God, I release freedom into those hearts right now. God, that we will come clean. We'll say, man, I've been hiding this for a long time, and I'm going to come clean. And God, that we, those of us who are on the receiving end of this person coming clean, and as Paul is boasting on his weaknesses, Lord, as we're the receptors of that, God, that we would be anointed with grace, that we'd be anointed. I remember the first time I ever came clean, I thought people were going to kill me, and I got loved. That's what I got. Lord, I thank you right now that the truth of the gospel, the truth of the gospel will rise and rise and rise in our hearts, rise and rise and rise in River Valley. God, rise and rise and rise in the body of Christ in America again, Father, that God will turn away from the ways of man. As Paul says, we'll stop looking at our own strength and what we can accomplish, and that we'll rely solely on you, Father, and what you can provide, what you can do, God, because you can do anything. You can do anything, God. So, Lord, we bless you. We thank you for your grace. As we journey into this holiday season, God, I pray that this is the most amazing holiday season we've ever had, God. That to realize that you didn't come for us because we're perfect. You came for us because we're broken. And it's all right. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys, Facebook and YouTube. Blessings on you guys. Have an awesome week. We'll be here Wednesday night for prayer. You're welcome to come, 7 o'clock. Friday night, hopefully, ladies, you have a nice time. Hopefully that continues to, that event goes on. Amen. So guys, have an awesome week. In Jesus' name, amen.